That lot. It's there. His daughters are there. And now the oldest daughter has a son and was named Moab. And Moab became the father of the Moabites. And the youngest daughter bared a son whose name was Benaiah, who was the father of the children of Ammon. And both always fought against God's people because there was something not right from the beginning. There was something that was on the inside that lasted for generations and generations. Always fighting against the righteous. Always fighting against purity. And Moab became a nation, a small place across the Salt Sea of Israel. And they had their own religion. And it was because of their own religion they demanded the sacrifice of their babies. They would take and inspect their babies, and they would find their best, their purest babies, and they would destroy them and offer them up as a sacrifice. Oh, did this come to pass because of a daddy who said, I'll offer up my babies, I'll offer up my children, they are pure, and I'll sacrifice them. And it carried over into the next generation, into the society, and their culture of Sodom and Gomorrah was carried over into the Moabites. Friend, can you imagine? Can you imagine in your mind what it was like growing up in Moab? The smells, the scenery, the screams at night, children being yanked from their mother's arms, children being marched down the streets to be led, to be sacrificed. All this taking place just across the Salt Sea. All this taking place right next to Israel, next to God, next to the God of love, next to the God of mercy.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
All this taking place. Because when the crowd came and knocked on Lot's door, he said, I've got two babies. I've got two daughters. Pure, that have been without man, that I'm willing to offer up.
Right.
Now this dysfunctional, gruesome thing that has taken place in the lives of these children has now trickled down into their generation of their children, and now has become the anthem of their nation. All because something wasn't right on the inside.
Amen.
In this life, for these two young ladies, being born there in this culture, in this lifestyle, and they make it somehow, they make it past infant stage. They make it past them being sacrificed, and they grow up in this environment, and now there are teens living in this world, and it's very possible that they could have never heard about God of Israel just across the sea, and never hearing about the God of love and the God of mercy. But friend, can I tell you that little did they know that the moment that they took their very first breath, that the God of mercy and the God of love, the God of Israel, would know everything about them. And he knows their very problems, and he knows their very things that are taking place in their life, and he knows what they're going through. He knew the number of hairs were upon their head. He knew what they were facing in their life. He knew what the world that they were living in. I'm telling you, friend, don't you ever think that God does not know, ma'am, sir, where you are at today. Man might not know what's going on in your world. mercy that knows everything that you're going through. He knows everything about you, and he knows exactly where you are geographically. The enemy might convince you and tell you that he doesn't care and he doesn't know. But he knows. These two children, these two girls, being raised in that world and that culture of Moab, and God knowing exactly where these children were. God had already put a plan and a place into motion before these two girls had ever been born. Because in Bethlehem, Judah, there was a daddy and a mama and two sons who were getting hungry. And there was a famine that began to take place because that was in that land. And the Bible says that they sojourned to the country of Moab. And we find that the father dies, and the two sons meet these two children, these two girls, these two young ladies by the name of Ruth and Orpah, and these two young men who were raised in Bethlehem, Judah, knowing who God was, friend, knowing who and all about the oneness of God, knowing about Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And the Bible says that they fell in love with Ruth and Obed, and they got married, and for 10 years everything was nice. For 10 years they are this happy family. For 10 years they thought that this was the perfect will of God, and then all of a sudden both of their husbands die. And now here you have a repeat of another generation. A repeat in the same sense, in the same type of culture. You have another mother-in-law this time, which has two young ladies. You see this mother-in-law one day, she begins to say, after seeing all of this take place, I'm raising two daughter-in-laws. I'm living in Moab, and this is not who I am. This is not who I'm supposed to be. And something began to take place in this mother. And something began to transform. She says, I am, and I was born to worship. I belong in Bethlehem, Judah. I was born to worship. And one day she says, you know what, babies? I'm going home. I'm leaving. I'm getting out while I have a chance. Getting out of Moab. I'm getting out of this influence. I'm getting out of this society and this culture, because I wasn't created to live in Moab. And now the Bible says in Ruth 1:7, Naomi made her mind up. Been backslidden for over 10 years. I've been living in sin. I've been living in somewhere that I was never meant to live. I'm going back home. I'm getting out of the pool, the influence of this world. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. Bible says in Ruth 1:7 that wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah, the land of praise, the land of worship, into the land of the God of love and the God of mercy. This means that they left together. They all started their journey together. The mother-in-law and her daughters-in-law begin to go on their way. Friend, can I tell you this morning that there has to come a starting point in your journey to this thing? I'm telling you, friend, there has to be a time that you say, you know what? I don't belong in this world. There has to be a starting place where you make up in your mind that I'm going to live for God, and I'm tired of being a part of the world. I'm tired of being a part of sin, and I'm about to Jesus, where it was in Jerusalem, where it was in Judah. I'm telling you, fam, I've got to make my way. I've got to make that journey, and I've got to put one foot in front of the other. And I'm telling you, friend, once you do that, each step after it will just get easier and easier. I'm telling you, friend, I understand that the first initial step might be hard. It might be intimidating because you got everybody else breathing down your neck, saying, look, you don't need to do this, and you don't need to do that. You don't need to go to that apostolic church. You need to leave them people alone. But friend, can I tell you, you just keep your mind made up. Or enter into the kingdom of God. What did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, and as many as our Lord God shall call. Friend, I'm telling you, when you make that first initial step, you're going to have a coattail that's waiting behind you, and you're going to be somebody's example in your family. Don't think that you're here by accident. God knew you was going to be here, and he knew the influence you got over your family. And God said, if I can save you, if I can get you out of Moab, if I can pull you out of sin, I know that you're going to have people look at you, you're going to have people follow you. For you and I, it's just not for us four and no more. Wow, but the gods of this heaven, he said for all, as many as I shall call. I believe when he made that statement on the day of Pentecost, he didn't care what color you were, what background you were, male, female, anything. He said, if you want it, you can have it. But you got to make the first initial step, friend. Praise God. But for Naomi, she made up her mind, I'm leaving Moab. And they begin to go on their way. And all of a sudden, Naomi, she begins to look. Obed and Ruth, and she says, you know what? I don't think you belong in Bethlehem, Judah. You're not an Israelite. You don't belong where I'm headed because you're a Moabite. You've been influenced by your culture, your society. You've been influenced by your generation. And you don't belong where I'm going. Bible says in Ruth 1 and 10 that they both said unto her, surely we will return unto thee and to thy people. Mother-in-law, we done lived long enough in Moab. We don't have anything else that can offer us to stay in Moab. Our husbands are dead. We have no family, and you're everything that I've got. And mother-in-law, I've been sitting around the dinner table for a long time. And I heard how you and my husband begin to talk about Bethlehem, Judah. Yeah. Mother-in-law, you begin to influence me, begin to talk to me with words of encouraging, saying that how in Bethlehem, Judah, there is a God of love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. There is a God of peace.
That's right.
I don't want to stay in Moab anymore. I don't want to stay in this dysfunctional society with this sacrifice of pure and innocent blood. The Bible says, and Naomi began to try to talk them out. And she says that you'll never be able to marry again. Do you think that you're going to be able to go with me and live a life because of who and what you are? And one of the sisters, Ophrah, she draped her arms around her mother-in-law and kissed her. The Bible says that she returns unto her people and unto her gods. Why did this take place and why did this happen? One reason. Ophrah's mind was not totally made up. There was something that still had an influence in this young lady's life in Moab. Ruth, why don't you go and follow your sister? Why don't you go and do what she's doing? Because I will not make it. And you will not make it in this land of Judah. And the Bible says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave me. Naomi, my mind is made up. I've heard too many stories about how them apostolics have church.
Oh, yes.
I've heard too many stories about people that were bound and heartbroken and then shattered into a million pieces. And one night in an altar, I've heard stories about how the God of love appeared unto them and filled them with His Spirit. You can't tell me. You can't tell me, Naomi. It's not worth trying. At least try to make it to Bethlehem, Judah. Naomi, I've got my mind made up. You can't persuade me in a difference. I'm telling you, sis, I'm telling you, mom, entreat me not, because wherever thou goest, I want to go, and wherever thou lodgest, I'm going to lodge, and thy people, yeah, mama, your people, they're going to become my people, oh, mama, and your God, the God that you love, the God that you serve, they're going to become my God, He's going to become my God, and I'm telling you, friend, it was then, in that moment of time, that Naomi began to see something in Ruth. But I'm just wasting my breath in this one. But Ruth, you don't understand. No, mama, you don't understand. I'm not going back to Moab. I'm not going back to the way that I've always lived.
My God.
I'm not going back to the influence.
My God.
You need to hear me. I'm not going back to the society. I'm not going back and being a part of something that sacrifices something pure. I've got to do something. I don't care. My sister can do whatever she wants to do. She's old enough and she's got a mind of her own. But as far as me, Naomi, you better get to stepping, because every step you do take, I'm going to be right on the side of you, and I'm going to make it all the way to Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm not looking back. I'm not going to do like Lot's wife did. I'm not looking back this time. I'm about to break something that somebody else should have broke a long time ago. Listen, friend, you know what? Most people don't come to the understanding that they have to live this way, and they have to understand that Acts 2:38 is the only way of salvation. It's because of the influence of the false religions that has bound their mind. Oh, but if they can just open up their mind and say, you know what? This isn't the way. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. God has planted a way. I'm telling you, it might be an old path, but it's still good. It might be dusty and worn out, but it's still a good path. It's going to lead you to Bethlehem, Judah, and one day to New Jerusalem. I'm telling you, friend, it's worth the long run. It's worth taking the journey to Bethlehem, Judah. Influence of past traditions.
That's the truth.
You don't understand what you're doing. You don't understand. Your daddy was raised in this church. Your mama, your grandfather was raised in this religion. And now that religion, it's not something that has become something that you love, but it's become a tradition. And I'm telling you, friend, I'm here to try to break every tradition of every false doctrine that has ever been implemented in your mind. Because I'm telling you, friend, this is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you, friend, he said, if you want to be born again, you can be born again. But it's not even by the water and the spirit. It's not on the spirit. It's a submerging that has to take place. If you have to go under the water, by the representation of the blood of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall. I'm telling you, friend, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you need it. Because I'm telling you, friend, he says, have you received since you believed? Oh, friend, I'm tired of traditions. I'm tired of all these other things. Give me the truth. Give me the way. Let me go and search for the old ways and the old paths, because that's going to lead me to salvation. Not going back to Moab. The Bible says when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. When you finally show somebody that your mind is made up, they'll leave you alone.
Yes, they will. Yeah.
You know what most of the time happens and takes place, and the reason why they fight you so much? It's because they're jealous at the effort that you're taking.
Oh my God.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Amen.
They're bitter. Why? Why do they try so hard to keep you in your tradition? Because they don't want to see you make it.
Amen.
They don't want you to show them by your steps that they have been wrong their entire life.
Amen.
But eventually, they'll leave you alone.
Yes, they will.
When you show them, Mom, Dad, I'm going to church tonight with or without you.
That's right.
Young people, Mom, I'm going to church without you if you don't want to go. Husbands, wives, put your foot down and go to church.
Right.
He wants to stay at home, leave him at home.
Amen.
Get to the house of Judah. Get to the house of God. Oh, yeah, it is that simple. No, you don't understand, preacher. Yes, it is that simple. When you make your mind up that the God of this heaven and the God that's walked on this earth is going to become your everything, you will do everything and anything to make sure you're in the house of God each and every service. Friend, I'm telling you, when Naomi saw that Ruth had made up in her mind, it was no change in the fact of the matter. They begin to go their way because of the power of a made up mind. You see, this woman begins to go now and enter into Bethlehem, Judah. And now something else begins to take place. And we see this because we have the advantage this morning to read the next three chapters and to know what was in store for Ruth this morning. But Ruth did not have that advantage we have this morning. We get to see this unfold and what happens. You see, friend, because there was another roadblock that was in Bethlehem, Judah. And it was the law of Moses that's now against her. An unbinding law. And everything was against her when she came into the land of Judah. You can't even own your own land because you're a Moabite. You can't have a field. You can't buy. You can't sell. Why? Because you're an outcast. You're a Moabite. Because of where you came from, and because of what the society you live in, and what you look like, because you don't look like us, and you'll never fit in, all because of who your daddy was, and all because of who your mama was, and there never will come a day that you'll become an Israelite. Your family will always say, you've got to stick to the tradition and the lifestyle. But they'll never understand. And Ruth says, I may never find a place in your city, but God has got something for me.
Amen.
Right.
Because, friend, we see that there again was that unbinding law. And it was not going to change. But God presented a loophole. God said, I've got a plan B. Because now here is Ruth going to glean in the fields. And Naomi says that there is a man by the name of Boaz. And why don't you go and glean behind his reapers? And so this Moabite girl, she goes into the field and she goes and finds Boaz. And Boaz sees this young little girl. He does. He sees something that's different about her. He sees that she doesn't look like the rest of them. He sees that she has a determination about her. And this determination grabs the attention of Boaz. Who is she? She doesn't look like us.